The debate about the human rights and the practical meaning of that in terms of daily life of people have different dimensions that we need to understand. And in the Brazilian experience, when we adopted a constitutional consensus about the health as a human right in 1988 in our new constitution, we defined, happily we defined, that this right will have no restrictions. So it will be universal and comprehensive, as a right must be. No? The practical consequence of that is that we have no exclusion in terms of what kind of care the people can receive. Of course, it generated other problems, because since then we are in a continuous process to ask for more money in order to arrive to materialize the rights, I mean, to make it real. No? But this is a very good question. The effect of this is that we don't use to do a kind of limitation of the care, but we are continuously looking for more resources and other modalities of organization of the care. It permitted in 1994 to adopt a national strategy for family health that now is covering around 104 million people, no? Family health teams, family health doctors and nurses, whatever. And it was a consequence of the pressure of society to make feasible, to make accessible the right to health in terms of communities, especially beginning from the rural areas, no, the neighbors of the big cities or whatever, that were traditionally and historically excluded. In this sense, the other very positive thing is that our system is not based on contributions. No? This is another very important question to understand. I cannot define universal access when you put a kind of exigence to be subject of that. No? When you establish that, well, you need to contribute to have the benefit of the care. No? So you need to be a formal worker and to contribute to have a social contribution. You and your employer must contribute to that. It establishes a kind of break in society, especially in societies where the unemployment is historically very high. So when we define it, the universal access to the health in Brazil, we automatically define it that the financing of this would be connected to the general income of the state, the tax system. Well, that's not something new. We have previous historical experience in Europe. But for us, it represented a big jump, because in a country where we had no right to health previously to 1988, this assumption of a universal right based on tax system, income of the state, established a completely new dimension of the debate and push, no, the other sectors of the social protection to go in the same direction. So today we are talking about a national pension system based on a non-contributive category. It's already existing for all people with 65 years, in case of males, or 60 years for women, that have no enough income, less than half of the minimal national wage, they receive from the state, without any requirement from previous contribution to pension public system, they receive a national wage for survive. No? It's around $350 today. So this concept of universal approach to the social rights is very much the defining the nature of the state. So after this advancement on the health system, the Brazilian state become to be more and more under pressure to establish the same logics from health sector to the other social sectors. And even considering what today is a very important initiative of the government as well, is that this right to economical security, that was assuming through the direct cash transference for families where the per capita, family per capita, is less than one quarter of the minimum wage, minimum national wage. That's, as I told you, around $350. So in this sense, 53 million people are receiving these transfers, cash transfers monthly. Huh? That's very important. Because then it pushed all these people to the consumption market, establish a new economical movement on the poor communities in a dimension that could be very much positive for the community developments, and especially in the small cities, in the rural areas, etc. And what is more incredible in that is that we do this cash transfer for 53 million, more 4 million people with these non-contributive pensions. We finance that with 0.9% of the gross national product. Only that. Probably for middle-class families, the amount of money that each family receives is quite nothing, no? Probably they spend that going to go to dinner. But for those families, it represented a jump in terms of possibility to have a kind of basic economical income to be able to go for further work and whatever. Because it's not, it doesn't eliminate the fact that you can have a job. But if your job is not enough to have at least a quarter of minimum national wage for each people in your family, you are able to receive this transfer from the state. And together with the formal development of the labor market, that's another thing that's important to understand. We are in a kind of opposite stream of the international neoliberal policies that establish a non-formal labor market. We are developing the formal market. In the last 7 years, we had 14 million new jobs, formal jobs. No? So it had a lot of impact in terms of the people that become much more economically protected, and by other hand, the formal system introduced all those people on the social security pension system. No? And the other important thing is that all this 0.9% of the money that is spent for this cash transfer, that are constantly attacked by the conservative opposition in the country, 79% of this money come back to the government through the tax system. That's another question that we talk about universal, and immediately the neoliberals say, no, it's not possible because economically it's not feasible. But they imagine that when we put money on social policy, we are burning money. And we're not burning money. We are putting money on these economical circuits. No? So those aspects for us were very interesting in terms of the social process in the country. But, of course, you could say, no, but this is Brazil, no? Rich country, lot of money, very high developing process in terms of economical process. But I could say the same for other countries where we have been working. In the case of Paraguay, Paraguay is a small country, 6 million people. No? Brazil has 194 million people. But Paraguay is 6 million people, less than twice Berlin. No? And poor population, but a rich country. During the year 2007, we participated in the development of the program, the political program for the national elections, when the Bishop Lugo was elected. And we promoted, during the process of the government plan design, we promote the idea that Paraguay needs to have a universal health system. And of course, the first barrier among even the supporters of the bishop was that it was impossible, because a poor country cannot have this luxury to have a universal health system. But the main barrier was not economical, was ideological, in the sense that they had no historical reference of rights. It's the same kind of resistance that I perceived when we try to put this debate in countries like India or in countries like the African countries, where there is no historical reference around the meaning of right. So you need to build this ideologically in order to be acceptable, this concept, and then to move towards to have the research for that. In Paraguay, it happened exactly like this. After the first barrier to be break, no, with the acceptation of the concept of universal right to health, it become the agenda shift from to say yes or no to be universal to another agenda, looking for how can we support the universal process, how can we finance, how can we reorganize the health system, how can we reorganize the structure of the human resource or whatever. And then in Paraguay now we have a universal health system with a lot of problems, with a per capita of expenditure per capita on health that's less than $40 per capita year. No? But they are going through that, and now they will probably will arrive to have 100 per capita in 2 years more, because the money exists in the countries. The problem is that this money is lost. Better say, not lost, is appropriated in a very asymmetric way. So what was the consequence of this debate in Paraguay? Now the social movements are pushing for a reform on the tax system, because in Paraguay there is no tax on personal income, no tax for richness. There is absolutely no taxes for the exporters of grains that are the big owners of the land in the country. Why? Because historically they control the state, and the state worked to eliminate any tax that could impose over the capital, only impose over the consumption of the ordinary people. So this is kind of example that I think is very interesting. But the other consequence of a universal approach in Brazil is very clear, is that the subject, I mean the owner of the rights, they don't need to have any kind of document to be considered the owner of the rights. It means that all foreigners that are in Brazil, if you go to Brazil as a tourist, you have the full care on health if you need. And in fact, many people from the neighbors' countries come to that, you know, from our frontiers with Bolivia, Paraguay, and even the north of Argentina, they come to receive health care, free health care, in the country. Because when they arrive to the service, they are not asked to prove if they are Brazilians, if not, if they live in the country or not. They receive the care because they are human beings, and they are, in this moment, physically in the country. That's enough. I think it could be a good example for the European countries regards the health of the immigrants. Because beyond the moral and ethical arguments, there is another question that maybe you can use. It's a public health argument. If you have healthy people that are here, collectively living here, it's interesting to have as less disease as possible. No? Not only for the possibility of transmission of disease, but in terms of the dynamic of the health on populations. No? So in our understanding, when there are barriers regarding the conditions of documented, non-documented foreigners in the countries, whatever, the victim of this kind of process is the basics of the moral and ethical fundamentals of human rights. So it's necessary to have a very clear political debate on that. And I had the opportunity to talk with those Senegal workers in Spain, organization of Senegal workers in Spain, the Islamic workers. They had a very interesting claim regarding the Spain state and the Senegal state. They asked to have for their families, because they were, mostly of them are in Senegal, are in Spain, but the families are in Senegal. So they asked to have for their families in Senegal the same rights the Spanish workers have in Spain for their families. Because we are talking about formal workers that are not allowed to have their families in Spain, but they are asking to have in Senegal the clinics, the social service that the families of the Spanish workers have in Spain. There. Very interesting question. Because then we approach to some material expression of this global health. I mean, in another perspective, if we have a human rights approach, this human rights approach has no frontiers. And in the sense of the logics of this, we need to provide answers that will be rationally applied for everybody that have the same right in another place, as in this category of family of regular workers in Spain. Well, that's an interesting case to dialogue about this projection of rights in terms of international law and international rights. So I think it's enough. Thank you.